Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about easy land internet checkout experience for your customers and why it's important.
It's easy for them. It's not so easy to set up sometimes.
You know, the good news is, you're right, but the good news is you only have to set it up once.
Yeah, it's true.
One time and it applies
to
everything.
It's so worth it. I got to tell you, this is one of those things that I'll be honest and we'll share this. There are some hoops you got to jump through, and I want to properly convey what's involved here, but then we're going to share why it's so important. And I think people don't believe that this really happens, and I want to share some stories about how it, you know, when it really did happen.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Because what Jill's saying is there's a really beautiful ending to this story.
Yeah.
The good news is we figured it all out. We're going to explain why it's so important and then tell you exactly where to go and what to do to make your land / checkouts, your customer's experience when they purchase land or down payments on houses even.
Yeah, it's imagine. Really, I mean, imagine this. It's like someone says, you know, they add this to your cart, you know, and it's 40 acres and they check, add it to their cart, and then they check out. That's what we're talking about, and it really does happen. It's cool.
Before we get into the details of all of that, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Brian asks, hello everyone. I recently sent out a mailer and received a purchase agreement with a property owned by an individual within an Indian reservation. On RealQuest Maps, the owner of all surrounding properties is listed as Colorado River Indian Reservation. My questions are, can Indian reservation properties be purchased? Number two, should I purchase? Number three, thanks, and thanks for your help. Brian.
Okay. Good question. Good basic question, Brian.
Is this legal? Should I do it?
So here's what happens. Here, the only way that a county can make a property taxable so it starts to receive property taxes is by assigning an APN, assessor's parcel number. So think of a developer who goes through the process. He buys 40 acres on the edge of town and then puts roads in and maps out a plat map where, I don't know, 50 or 60 or 100 or some number of houses are going to be built. And each, now, and he took a property, it was 40 acres, it had one APN before he did this, and now it's got 100 APNs. That's the same thing that happens when you're on the edge of a Native American reservation. It's the same thing that happens when you are on the edge of a mountain. A lot of times, they are incorrectly plat mapped by the assessor at the time. People, they're human. They make mistakes. I just read a story about in San Francisco, all the streets have APNs, and no one should own the streets. Mm-hmm. The municipality should. So it's a real problem because no one pays the tax. Whoever owns them, they stop paying the taxes. They realize they can't do anything, so it goes to the tax auction, then somebody else owns it, and it's a big problem.
Right.
So this is the same situation. The chances are this should never have been platted.
Right.
And so I keyword search before we send letters out because I was trying, you know, the same thing happened to me a lot of years ago. We got a slew of mail back in saying, heck yeah, I'll sell you my property. I can't do anything with it. It's on an Indian reservation. So to directly answer your question, Indian reservation property, if it's truly, and this isn't the name of the subdivision, because a lot of times Colorado River Indian Reservation might be the name of a subdivision, which is why it's in the legal. I don't think that's the case here.
Okay.
But if it's truly on the Indian reservation, it was misplatted and does have an APN, just stay away.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. There's too many, you know, I'm sure that by the time we're reading this, you've received 20 more signed
replies.
Offers
that are
not on Indian reservation property, or you're not even questioning it. But it is useful for everyone to know.
But I want to say too, what if you're on the edge of it? What if there is a legitimate piece of property? Like we've had it with Corps of Engineer property. And we've had members that had it with like next to a national park property. And they're like, wow, it's right there. Does that make sense? I'm like a heck yeah kind of thing.
That's an attribute in a positive way.
If you end up with something that, you know, is legit and it's like butts, it's right slap dab next to Corps of Engineer or park or, you know, state property, man, that stuff's a gold, I think, because no one can build on it. You know, it's like awesome stuff.
I bought a property that was on the edge of the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. Properties, since sold them. that have had property on the literal country line of Mexico, where you could reach out across the Mexican mm-hmm. border in Texas and New Mexico.
It's like you could straddle it. Mm-hmm. My foot's in Mexico, my foot's on my property.
Right. So, yes, I think, and then I've had landlocked property within a state park mm-hmm. or a national park.
See, yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's fantastic.
I mean, what a great thing.
So, yes, if you're right and I've had property right on the edge of a subdivision, right on the edge of an Indian reservation, nothing's ever going to get built there.
Yeah.
Or it may. If it does, it's only going to improve your property. So
exactly.
Those are all real positive things. Adjacent property attributes are almost, unless it's a cement mixing plant in the middle of Los Angeles.
Right. Or an airport.
yeah, an airport might be bad.
You don't want that.
Almost always positive.
Yep.
Today's topic, easy land internet checkout. Jill, what you have a lot to say about this. I know you do.
Okay, so
this is the meat of the show.
I know. This is something cool that it's awesome because we had it, we didn't have it, and now we have it in a big way. So let me back up. Once upon a time, things like PayPal and other places would let you, and other credit card processors like MoonClerk and things like that, would process credit cards, right? For properties. Awesome. Well, eventually, I just think they don't understand our property type. So one by one, all these separate credit card processing companies stopped allowing property purchases in all kinds, not just buying a piece of land, like even collecting rent. You know, I've heard people have trouble with that. All kinds of people in our business having trouble getting credit card payments for real estate purposes. So we have solved it. Took a year, probably a little more than a year, working with a company to finally get them where they need to be, to really understand our property type and understand more about real estate and what we're all doing. And they have given us the green light, but big. And so if you go on our, and if you want to know who this is, by the way, if you go on our online community, go to landinvestors.com. There's a
portal,
a thing, right? There's a place you can click on it right there and get access. And there's a description of what you need to do and how to set it up. So, and I'll tell you, there's some things now. What you're doing is you go to this link and you have to provide a lot of information about your business. I mean, a lot of information, but it's worth it because what you're doing is supplying who you are, what you do, what kind of properties, copies maybe of your contracts. If you're a Land Academy member, a lot of that's already done for you. If you're just saying, I'm one of the regular Land Academy people, then they know what you're doing and you can kind of fast track it. So, but you have to provide about your business, where you are, you know, what's your refund policy and all kinds of things like that. But at the end of the day, now you can accept credit cards. Oh my gosh. And you could literally put a cart and a link, you know, where people can, on your website, add that property to their cart, check out, and pay at 3 a.m. And guess what? Why are we doing this? Because people do that. It's not crazy. A lot of us are selling properties under the $10,000 price point. And for a lot of people, they have that available on their credit card, and they are so darn excited to buy a piece of property and pay it off with their credit card.
We've sold thousands and thousands and thousands of properties this way.
Mm-hmm. And here's one of the other reasons why. Because they can't afford, they don't have the money. Maybe they want to buy, say you have a 40-acre property you're selling for $10,000 or $12,000, whatever it is. A lot of individuals are excited. They want to buy that property. It's great. It's just what they want. It's an awesome investment. They go to a lending institution, and most lending institutions, most banks, will not give loans on undeveloped or unimproved properties. So these people are going, great, I can't buy it. I wish I could. I know I could pay it off. The bank won't lend me money, but a credit card, you could use a credit card, and that's how they solve it, and they love it, and they're thrilled, and everybody wins.
Exactly. What Jill's getting at is, and she's got into the mechanics of how to make an experience really positive for a person purchasing real estate on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got started, everybody's like, wow, who the heck would buy a piece of property on the internet? That, mm-hmm. It was the same with cars, too. Who the heck would ever buy a car without driving it or riding it or seeing it? Well, it happens every day now.
Mm-hmm.
Every minute, probably. It's the same thing with land. And we're still in this first or second inning of that ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not so far off that people are going to buy houses completely on the internet based on the experience they have on the internet.
Some of them do go drive it, though, too, honestly, and they see it. I know that because that's what we put in all of our postings, like the GPS coordinates are really good maps. They might go stand on it, and they might be standing. They could be standing on it and then hitting the checkout button right there.
We've all purchased stuff on the internet where it was like, wow, that was easy. This is great. Mm-hmm. Like Amazon's got a real good checkout experience. Mm-hmm. And we've all purchased stuff with less than maybe reputable vendors, and you stop in the middle and go, what the heck is this? This mm-hmm. is not right. It's tripping my radar. I think I'm going to stop.
Right.
You don't want to be that second person.
Right.
You want to have all the security, the SSL certificate on the website that you're going through. You want to make it easy. You want to make it so that if, in fact, they do get halfway through and have some questions, that they can either reach you or you can help them. Mm-hmm. This is really important. We spend all this time and money buying cheap real estate. You want to make it real easy to sell it.
Of all kinds.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, I just had a conversation the other day with a guy. He's in San Diego and the property's in Arizona. This is a House Academy one. And he was calling. And the only reason he was really calling was because it was like, is this legit?
Yeah.
You know, and he was kind of going, okay, who are you guys?
Easy?
And I said, yeah. And I explained it in three sentences.
What did you say?
No nonsense.
Too.
Well, it's actually recorded too. But I just said, look, this is what we do. We've been doing it since the 90s. Sure, we know we're buying it lower than what you could do. But do you really want to stage the house, redo the kitchen, and sit and wait a year, you know, now and all that? No, I'm just going to have you and I, what the price we agree on is a price that you get. I pay for everything else, and it's super fast and super easy, and you go on with your life and go have a nice time. And he's like, got it, done, check. We'll call you when we're in town on Tuesday. Thank you.
I got to ask you, I know you're so good at this stuff, Jill. Like, is there a point where you can hear that the person's made a decision to sell you their property?
Oh, yeah.
What do they do? This is so fascinating.
Like, for a buyer,
this is not my thing.
Like, for if it's a buyer, property buyer, we would call it's an old, silly term, but it's like a buying signal. So it's like when you hear them start to say, when they take ownership of the property, that's when you know, oh, they love it. When they say things like, oh my gosh, I can just imagine my kids playing in the river, you know, and I'm going to build this type of a cabin there. I can't wait for Christmas on the property. We're going to do X. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell I'm going to put a fence around it because I really want to make, you know, keep my horses in.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, whatever it is. But when they start taking ownership, then you're like, oh, they love it. You know, they fell in love with it right there.
What about when you're on the buy side?
When I'm on the buy side?
What signals does a seller give you that make you think, like, what did this guy specifically do that kind of pushed you over the edge where, yeah, he is going to sell his property?
Well, number one, he called me. There's a good, you know, honestly, I swear, when they reach out, even though they may reach out telling you you're nuts, they still reached out. And so I often think that half the time that they do want to sell, it just wasn't the right number or there wasn't the right situation or something's a little off right there for them to make them do that. But mm-hmm. he quickly started to use first names. He went on a first name basis with me. And he said, you know, Lynn wants to do something with that, you know, kind of thing.
Who's Lynn?
His wife, who owns the house.
Mm-hmm.
So he started to use her first name and said, yeah, she really wants to do something with it. You know, I could tell. He's like, it was basically saying, we're tired of managing this property, you know. And that's how you tell, too. When they start sharing stories about, you know, I could use this for paint. We're on number six kids' college education and, boy, we could be all caught up with that. You know, that's a selling signal, you know, kind of thing.
That's what
talking about what they're going to do with the money. And they ask real detailed questions like, can I get it wired to this kind of an account?
That's what I look for.
That's something, too, that you go, oh, all right, they're past it. And here's another good one. We never discussed the price. The offer price that we had on the letter never came up. It was automatically assumed that it was good. And that's a huge thing too. It was just really much like, got your letter. What do we do? I have two questions, and we want to start the process.
Yeah, for the because I'm in acquisitions and you're in sales, and I've spent a career talking to real estate owners who want to sell their property. Mm-hmm. The trigger for me is then when they start to explain their situation, mm-hmm. all the way back to when I was long ago in commercial real estate, purchasing long-term care facilities mm-hmm. for huge companies. When someone says, I just had this tenant that I can't take this anymore.
Right.
Or they say, I'm so glad you sent this letter because we really are ready to sell now.
Right.
Because XYZ passed away. Or if they're
my favorite, they do this all the time, is we thought we were going to retire there. You know, like exactly what you're saying.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes listening to the Jack Jill Show. Join us tomorrow, where we discuss and tell stories in land, how to tell stories actually in land postings and why it's so important to present your property that way.
And we answer your question, should you have one, posted on our online community found on jackjill.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Can you think of a story, Jill, that where even recently where you absolutely know that when you pick up the phone and they say, got your letter, what do I do next? Where it really worked well. Or
yeah.
And a story where it just like didn't work well, where you thought you were going to purchase an asset and it just didn't pan out.
Yeah. The easy one is like this guy. It was just kind of the questions that he asked were so minimal little questions. It was almost like just making sure there's a live body at the end of the line. It wasn't even, he already had obviously looked this up.
He did, okay.
Yeah, and it really wasn't that big of a deal. So I could tell like, yep, he's ready, he's done. You know, he was just waiting for this to come along. It's like how many times like you and I joke about, I have a car for sale right now. How I wish that's, and I have a car for sale right now. It's posted on the internet. I'm not aggressively trying to sell it. I could, but it's not like I need the money right now. It's just driving me a little bit batty. If I got an offer for someone, a halfway decent offer to buy my car, I would sign it and send it back so fast it's not even funny. Just like that. So that's what happened for this guy. So, and then when I know it didn't, one of the people that doesn't go well is when they ask so many questions and the same question, and they really don't want to sell. There are some times that people call and they really don't want to sell. And
they're just kind of dreaming.
Well, you know what they're hoping?
It's so nice to have $350,000.
Right.
But then I have to find a place to live.
They're hoping to negotiate a really high price. And it's like, this is just not going to happen. You know, and this is one of the things I have to coach my team on. It's like, get them off the phone. I mean, you know when people are in the ballpark. And don't try to get them in the ballpark. If they call up and go, I got your offer. I do want to sell, but I'm right. My number is right about double. Let's talk about that. Okay, get them off the phone. It's not going to work. No matter how hard those people try to get us to double our offer price, it's not going to happen. And we don't want to waste anybody's time.
Yep.
And that's what I told this guy too the other day. I said, look, part of the thing is I want to make it fast and easy for you and fast and easy for me. That's what we're doing here. And everybody can go on their happy way. He's like, yep, done. You know, we didn't even have a long phone call. It was nice.
When you start talking price, when everybody starts talking numbers, that's a bad sign.
Exactly. And if you find yourself negotiating with yourself, when they say things like, well, what's the most you would pay for my property?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Get the heck out of that situation. Because all you're going to do is, well, okay, let's see the roads here. Okay, I could go up $5,000 and they go, oh, is that all? You know, and then you're like, that's a disaster. That's a mess. It's only going to end one way and it's not in your favor. So just walk from those. Love it. Hey, share the phone by subscribing at iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.